Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to bring you another portion of our prophecy series called Image of the Beast. This is the fifth week of a 10-week series which gives some insight into the concepts of the beasts of Revelation. It includes information on the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, the number 666, and also explains how these prophecies are being fulfilled, not in the coming future, but right now, in these current last days. If any portion of this series interests you, please feel free to contact us and ask for the complete series. It is contained on 4 CDs and also includes the written transcript in case you would like to read it separately or follow along with the CD. Listen at the end of each program for our contact information. And by the way, this study series, like any of our material, is free for the asking. No donation is necessary. So let's continue with part 5 of Image of the Beast. The Bible refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air and the prince of this world. Satan is referred to in this way because his attempt at replacing the power of God lies in the arena of that life form and its environment that cannot exist without air. It is air, oxygen, that sustains natural man's life. A spiritual being, which is what we must become, does not have air as the breath of life, but rather the Holy Spirit. We, as born-again Christians, have life because the Holy Spirit has given us the knowledge of God, His Word, which is life to us. Not temporary physical life, but eternal life. This is where the battle of good and evil is fought, between trusting in God, who is a spirit, or not trusting in God, and instead relying on that which our own hands can do. If we are born again, we will be born of the Spirit. A man that is not born again will remain a natural, fleshly man. The spiritual man will trust in God. The natural man will trust in that which is natural, that which the world offers, in might and power, as it says in Zechariah 4:6, instead of by God's Spirit. Man was made subject to air. He was created by God, made a natural man, with the breath of life breathed into him by God. Without the natural things of the universe, man would die. Even man's attempts at leaving the realm of Earth by means of space travel requires him to take an air supply with him. The air is the natural boundary of natural man. It is not a barrier to man who becomes a spirit being. Therefore, the only future for man is to become a spiritual being, be born again. Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, uses the natural things of God's creation to exalt himself. He does this by lying to people and deceiving them into believing that they can trust in the physical strengths of the universe, the self-empowered works of the flesh. He uses the same force to deceive man that he used to deceive a third of the angels. He uses his tail, his animalistic nature, his beast form. Instead of trusting in God and looking to Him as supreme authority and power, man gives in to the temptations of worldly powers and delights and begins to believe that he can trust in the natural powers at hand to meet all his needs. Satan offers man the power of the universe, even though he cannot possibly deliver all he promises. he has made an all-out effort to sway men into thinking that they do not need God, but now have other means to empower themselves. The world has accepted this lie to great extent. Man now thinks he can climb up to heaven by building the Tower of Babel all over again. Most people of this world have set their sights on goals this world has to offer and are hard at work developing their powers in the natural and have given up the quest for the powers of God. Natural man is now beginning to think that his future lies in space travel, long life medicines, and cloning. His needs are met by an ever-increasing dependence on study, jobs, banks, loans, physicians, scientists, etc. They move mountains, not by faith, but with gigantic bulldozers and trucks. They heal the sick, not by faith, but by manipulation of chemicals. They perform feats which appear to be almost miraculous, but use the forces of the natural laws rather than faith. The Tower of Babel today is not a pyramid of clay bricks and slime, but the tools of science and technology much more greatly enhanced. Its bricks and mortar are transistors and diodes, nanobiology, biotechnology, computer generation, gene manipulation, and cloning. The hindrance to Satan has been removed, and the last onslaught has been in progress for over 200 years. The result is that most people on the earth are sick of Christianity, and many Christians are also rejecting Christ, even in the seminaries of many denominations. But the greatest problem the world faces is Satan's deception of the people of earth with these miracles that are accomplished through the knowledge of man. All the wonders of science and technology are miraculous when seen through man's natural eyes. Man is being brainwashed into rejecting the power of God and turning to science for his trust. The intent of Satan is to finally cause man to reject the concept of an almighty God and to embrace the powers of earth, trusting that eternal life and eternal happiness can come to man through the strength of his own hands. And in the last few years, with the advent of biotechnology, cloning, etc., man is quickly being swayed into believing that this may actually be possible. If this trend continues long enough and becomes the accepted thought on a worldwide basis, then man would no longer have to worry about being pleasing in God's sight. God would be quickly rejected by all, as if throwing out an old garment which was no longer needed for a covering. For man would no longer consider himself to be naked. He would no longer be aware of his own shame. He would be as the great whore of Revelation 18, who thinks she has a husband but is actually a widow and therefore destitute and naked. Let me take just a moment here and further explain this concept. A woman without a husband would have no one to provide for her. Without any means of clothing herself, she would be destitute and naked. When the woman becomes a bride and marries the man, she comes under the covering of his robe, thus taking away the reproach of her nakedness. This was symbolized in the story of Ruth and Boaz, when Boaz covered Ruth with his own covering when they were on the threshing floor the night that he promised Ruth that he would become her kinsman redeemer husband. He was saying, in essence, "Here is my covering, which symbolizes my intent to become your permanent covering and take away the reproach brought upon you by your widowhood. I will be your covering." In the same sense, when we become the bride of Christ, who is our spiritual kinsman redeemer, we receive a robe of righteousness which eradicates the reproach of sin. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they had no need of a covering. They had no reason to be ashamed to come before God, because they were confident that He accepted them just as they were. As soon as they disobeyed God, they were aware that they were no longer acceptable and that God would be displeased with them. At this time, the symbolism of human nakedness was brought to light as a means for non-spiritual humans to recognize that they were no longer in a right relationship with God. Because Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, they could not go before Him in confidence, believing that He accepted them just the way they were. They realized that God would look upon them and see that which was displeasing to Him. This caused them to be ashamed of what they had become. Because the symbolism of nakedness was born at that time, therefore, the symbolism of a covering for their nakedness to take away their reproach followed it. We humans must have a covering, but it will not come from Satan. He is a liar, and although he promises that man's beast nature can still find eternal happiness through the laws of mathematics and science, he knows that it is only an illusion, but he is only too willing for us to be destroyed along with him. Man has no hope without God, and no hope without Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. The only one who can take away the shame brought about by sin is Jesus. Now, let's take a moment and consider why the Bible mentions that the second beast can do miracles, but that these miracles are only done in the sight of the beast. The sight of the beast is an important term. It doesn't mean that the second beast can only perform miracles when it is within seeing distance of the beast or where the first beast can see him, but rather it is saying that the second beast can only work within the same parameters that the first beast could, which is according to the sight of the beast's visual or conceptual understanding, which is within his animalistic nature. It is carnal sight. It is the sight of carnal man rather than the sight of a spiritual God. Therefore, the miracles are those that are miraculous within the standards of physical laws. Miracles, according to the power of the Holy Spirit of God, can be performed by God's people, but the people of earth, when not going to God, can only work outside the realm of God's power. Satan must also adhere to these parameters, for he has rejected God and has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. In addition, he is working with humans and has no ability to empower them himself except with that which can act within man's carnal nature. In realizing that the beast is the humanness of man, his carnal nature, as opposed to his spirit nature, the miracles that man is able to do on the earth fall into the category of human abilities which use the physical attributes of the world to accomplish the works of man. Here again, that's why Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Because man's nature is also animalistic, humans can only do that which falls within the aptitude of carnal nature. When humans reject the spiritual nature of God, their only avenue to self-exaltation is by the might and power of this physical world. Because man is the worker of these miracles, and God is not the power behind them, the only power that man can use is that which is of the same beast nature that was first formed in Satan. The second beast, which is the nature of carnal man, can only see, can only comprehend through the same carnal eyes as the first beast. Because the second beast is like the first beast and has been developed out of the same beast nature as the first beast, the miracles can only be accomplished in the same carnal sense. But now, in these last days, there is one final tool of Satan that has been created in order to completely destroy any semblance of the Holy Spirit in man. This tool is Satan's greatest device with which to destroy the souls of men, including those who claim to trust in Jesus Christ. It is, therefore, the most deceptive tool that was ever deployed against the people of earth. This is the tool that would bring about the complete collapse of God's church if the time were not shortened. Satan has been able to get the people of earth to build an image of that first beast that rose up out of the sea. Let's read Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and lived. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." As I've already said, the first beast is the embodiment of the beast nature. And Satan chose this avenue rather than to submit to God, who is a spirit. Also, remember that Satan drew a third of the angels away from God with his tail, and that his tail symbolizes the animal in him rather than the spirit, and therefore he is without reason as an animal is without reason. In referring back to Behemoth, notice that his tail is described as being huge, as being like a cedar tree. This is emphasizing that Behemoth is an extreme example of the beast nature, and also the reason that his abode is not on solid ground, but as close as possible to the temptations that Satan sends out of the deep. When the image was created, it was an image of this beast nature. It was an image of this animal nature. Man created this image with the tools of science and technology, and the image is carried to the ends of the earth, mostly by the methods of television, movies, and computer graphics. I refer to these three basic modes of the image of the beast because Revelation 13:15 says that the image is not just an image, but it also speaks. Certainly, the image that portrays man's animal nature, his base Antichrist nature, both speaks and is also a major cause of failure for anyone who might steadfastly resist other forms of temptation to worship the flesh nature. Almost everyone recognizes the destructiveness that comes from these forms of entertainment, and it isn't too difficult for even non-Christians to comprehend how the image is an image of the flesh nature. A Christian might resist the actual things of the flesh, but then be taken in by television and movies just because they think they aren't actually doing anything wrong. But worshiping the flesh nature is the same thing as worshiping the beast, for the beast is that flesh nature which is opposed to the Holy Spirit of God. This form of temptation destroys unbelievers and believers alike. In fact, it kills the moving of the Holy Spirit in God's people. Satan knows that if he can get the people of earth to ignore the spiritual and concentrate on the natural, then God, who is a spirit, will also be ignored. And that is generally being accomplished at this very time. Think of this. An image is a graphical representation. Whether it is three-dimensional or two-dimensional makes no difference. It is still an image. No, the television itself or the movie projector or computers are not the image, but are the technological hardware and the means by which the image is presented. In this case, The image is a picture of that beast nature. No, not the real thing, but just its image. When you watch the screen and see someone killed, it's not actual death, but only acting out a death. The actors and actresses may fall down, and you may see the blood flowing from their wound, but then the director yells, "Cut!" and the people get up and dust themselves off. What you see is the image of the beast. The beast nature is everything that is evil. It embodies everything in man's carnal nature, including killing, lying, cheating, illicit sexual imagery, greed, anger, lustful desires, etc. But these are images, and not the actual beast itself. Even if you see a recording of an actual event, it's not the event you see, for the event has already taken place. You are just seeing an image of the actual event. If you see pictures of nudity, you are only seeing the image of it, for the persons are not there at that time, and you are not seeing them in the actual flesh. You are only seeing a representation of the real thing. However, the damage to the soul can be just as devastating as if the person was actually physically involved. The reason for this is that the battle we fight against evil is a spiritual battle and is fought in the mind. It is the mind that must be protected, and Satan knows that. Therefore, his chief weapon is aimed at the mind. The thing that makes this tool of Satan so absolutely devastating is that everyone will watch the portrayals in one form or another. If not certain shows, then they will watch others. Eventually, they will become desensitized and will watch what they originally refused to watch. I know of men who call themselves ministers who think very little of sitting down and watching R-rated movies, saying that they aren't involved in doing the sin. They just see it happen, but they ignore the parts that are improper. And Satan is laughing himself silly, for what these men do not realize is that they are allowing evil spirits to come into their minds through their eyes and ears and make suggestions. And it is a fact in anyone's book that what goes into the brain has to be dealt with. If the lie comes in, the only thing that will dispel it is the truth of God. Eventually, the brainwashing techniques of TV, movies, internet, or video games overcome the spiritual senses. At the very least, the worshiping of the beast, the animal nature of Satan and carnal man, is accomplished. Wherever you go to work or play, you hear people exalt the powers of science and technology, glorify the actors and actresses, and tell how they can't wait for the next movie or the next television season. You hear much more testimony from Christians about the glories of TV and movies than you hear testimonies in church which glorify the attributes of God. I once heard a minister on the radio say that he wished they would make televisions with a button that cut out sex scenes and the language that blasphemed the name of God. When I heard this, I thought to myself, but sir, they already do. It's called an off button. But Christians are not willing to let their TVs go. They will fight tooth and nail to keep them. Myself, I don't have a TV. I can't afford one. No, not because of the amount of money they cost, for they're pretty cheap nowadays. But what I can't afford is to suffer the destruction that the image of the beast will do to my soul. I only have one soul. I plan on protecting it as much as possible. Ephesians 4:27 tells us not to make a place for the devil to operate. By not having a TV, nor going to movies, nor surfing the web, I am refusing to make a place for Satan to come in and do his work of deception. Watching the image of the beast is actually giving place to the devil.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's program was a portion of the study series concerning the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number 666. If you would like a copy of the complete study series, just contact us and ask for the message, Image of the Beast. It is a 4-CD series and also includes the written 50-page transcript. And as always, there is no charge for any of our material. We believe God will supply our needs as He sees fit. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.